Tuesday. Jeff Stein's our national presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books and totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report's his weekly show down in Iowa, and he joins us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where he brings you the Iowa Politics Report down there. Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
So let's see. You moved the show and expanded it.
Yes.
I'm with you on Wednesday. So last week, on week one of this new gig, there was an insurrection at the Capitol. Week two, we have impeachment. Week three, we have inauguration. So week four, we have to come up with another I word. Insurrection, impeachment, inauguration.
Ice cream?
Ice cream. Great.
Well, just that's all that because we're going to need it. Because by the time we get to that week, we'll just sit here. We'll each have some ice cream. We won't say a thing. We'll just sit. That will be the show. We'll sit and have our ice cream.
Do you have an Eat Local Minnesota business that could deliver?
I don't know. Cedar Falls, Waterloo is a big ask. But
Well, take some yourself. I'll enjoy it vicariously for you.
The impeachment's happened here. 10 Republicans joining on with the group. It is amazing to me. It's amazing to me 10 Republicans jumped on board, but it is still 197 Republicans. They saw the president drive a mob that, and I said this about the four Minnesota Republican congresspeople, Stauber, Fischbach, Emmer, and Hagedorn, that if that mob would have caught any of them, they would have killed them. They would have, absolutely. That they send the mob in, violates the Capitol, tries to undermine democracy, tries to get the election thrown out. If you can't vote for an impeachment on that, there is quite literally nothing that Trump could do, that Trump could himself, and I said this in the first half hour, Trump himself could shoot Pence on the front lawn of the White House, and at least, I'd say at least 100 Republicans would say, nope, keep him in office.
And that's probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the correct number. I didn't mean to suggest that was...
Oh, God, no. That, we'll leave that to Trump. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that meeting? Hey, Mike, how you doing? Sorry for trying to kill you.
Boy, how did, you know, Pence is made of stronger stuff than I am to have taken that meeting with the president. But again,
yeah.
You know, whatever. But okay, so with regard to this vote, I imagine many will go back to their districts and say that it was a railroad job, that they're going to, and this is where Republican, well, I'm going to say the Democrats made a little bit of an error, but it's material. Okay, here's what I hear Republicans saying. Well, if you read the speech, if you listen to his speech, he never said that you should commit violence. Okay, here's where I say the Democrats made just a little mistake. Stop focusing on what he said that day.
Yeah.
That day was
simple. I don't think they are. I think I've heard a lot of people pointing to the 2 months, really. And even beforehand, when he was already saying, if I don't win, then it's being robbed and you got to go yank it back. And I mean, I think some are. And clearly, I mean, there are the images of his speech on the 6th don't help his case. But I think overall, you look at most of the Democrats I hear, it's not just that day. It's that this was the encouragement of the people to be there, the constant throwing of rocks at the beehive over the last few months. I don't necessarily think it was just that was the one focus.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I agree with you. And we talked about it last week in real time that this was coming. We also do now know, as we suggested last week, but it's been verified, that the first breach of the Capitol occurred while the president was still speaking, that these people came with weapons of a variety of styles and flavors and sizes. So they came ready to do it. They were not spurred to do it by what he said that day. So that leads you to all of the tweets, all of the "it's going to be wild," his exact quote in a tweet. But this is where it's a Nancy Pelosi thing, and you know how I feel about her, and I think the audience knows you're not exactly president of her fan club either. But she has such hatred for him personally And I think they needed to spell it out a little. Well, I did not.
Well, McConnell does too. McConnell does seem to hate him now too. It's not. She's not alone. McCarthy out and slammed him on today, but he still voted to keep him in. But
well, yes, but he also McCarthy. Well, okay, let me finish on Pelosi. I think that she's just so consumed with the incident that it needed to
trying be killed by an angry mob. Yes, I think she's a little consumed by that.
But that is exactly why what you need to do is to lay out. Don't give them the out by saying, well, I've read the text. I mean, I have seen so many of these right-wing honks who are posting things like, show me in the speech where he advocated violence. Right. It wasn't that speech. It's broader. And yes. I'm not sure that case was made enough. So when your question is, how do you get all these Republicans voting to acquit? The answer is they're going to say, well, his speech alone that day, dot, dot, dot. Now, let's talk about McCarthy. McCarthy was talking to people in his caucus about, should I go see the president and suggest he resign? Should we pull a 1974 on it? And then floating censure. Well, Pelosi wasn't going to just go along with censure.
An attempted overthrow of the democracy, no.
You know, because... And the other thing that Republicans might say, now, again, I'm not expecting you're going to buy it. I'm just telling you what they might say to their voters. They might say, look, that speech on the 6th wasn't enough. You know, that didn't say anything negative. They're also going to say this is just a waste of time because he's leaving early. We shouldn't have wasted time on this. Okay, I get the point. However, if you are wasting time on it, you know, you can't just say, well, we shouldn't waste time on this, so I'm voting against it. Well, that's a protest vote. That makes no sense whatsoever.
The big problem that the Republicans have that voted against this is you're right. They're going to go try to make an argument of, oh, look, they rushed it. The problem is that what we are already seeing is as we get further away, we have people who were pretending to be administrators on Parler. They've got all of it. You're getting a larger picture. The organizer of the event has said, I've got three congressmen who were involved in the planning of this event who now are screaming, oh, no, I didn't. But they clearly had some say. The longer this goes on, if it becomes more undeniable, that vote then becomes a scarlet letter T around their neck that they're not going to be able to get away with. Because the reality is this by itself should have been there. They are... If Barack Obama, I said this also on the first half of the show, if Barack Obama would have come out after the fact, after another African-American was shot by cops wrongly and there was a riot, and after the fact, after praising the police and praising local officials, he would have said, well, some people can understand why black people are upset about police officers killing them. The same Republicans would run with the letters of impeachment to throw them out for something after the fact. And the reality is this is just, it just shows you this. The problem here is the Republicans' outrage is so freaking bipolar that they can't be taken seriously.
Well, let's talk about another profile in courage, namely Mitch McConnell.
Okay.
All right, now, and I'm being sarcastic for those of you on
this is Mitch McConnell, you know, knock on the shell, see if he's in there.
Come here, turtle boy. Well, So he makes it known very clearly that he's very angry with the president. Okay, so what? Number one, so what? He then says, well, you know, I don't know how I would vote. I might vote to convict. Okay, so what? You could, if you're Mitch McConnell, you're still the majority leader. They have not certified the votes in Georgia. Those individuals have not been sworn in. Republicans hold a 51-48 majority in the Senate. If you're so darn upset, Mitch McConnell, call everybody back and start a trial. So what does he do? He's trying to have his cake and eat it too by being as weaselly as possible. First of all, he just got reelected. He doesn't have to worry about standing for election for 6 years if he even runs again. He can make the public statements about, well, this is terrible, I'm very upset, I might vote to convict. But when he has a chance to actually convene it, he says, well, we won't be done by the 20th, and so we're just going to continue to stand down. And then when it does come, you know, it's like, all right, Schumer, it's your fault now for having a trial. Schumer has just said, oh, we're going to have a trial.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have us a conviction, and we're going to have us that second vote to deny him public office, federal office in the future. Schumer is full steam ahead. All right, let's just see what McConnell does then, because it's real easy to say, oh, I'm very upset and I don't know how I would vote. And then when you have the chance to do something, just turn to your side and say, Chuck, what should I do? It's going to be yours soon. So let's just, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
absolutely ridiculous.
Where the House Republicans are a howler monkey exhibit, the Senate Republicans are actually, there was a story today where it was that only 9 Republicans have come out on the record to say that they would vote against impeachment. A far cry, by the way, you're talking about McConnell and rules. Reminder, he said, oh, I can make all the rules. I'm the Senate head. We can make the rules ourselves. He can make the rules for this impeachment trial. He wants to. And so that's on him. The reality is it does seem like the playing board in the Senate for Trump is gone, that if it does go to trial in the Senate, even right now, that he is going to get thrown out of office.
First of all, I had to look up howler monkeys, and the images are frightening. So thank you for that. I'm looking at those on the internet.
Hello, Representative Green from Georgia.
You better hope there's not a Representative Green from Georgia.
There is Marjorie Green down in Georgia. I'll go with Gozar out of Arizona. How about we do that guy too? Or Getz. We'll do Matt Getz.
The views expressed by the host are not those of the guest or the radio station. Don't sue us for libel. All right? So here's no, in the Senate, okay, the best you're going to get from any Republican right now, if you're Trump, the best you're going to get is for them to say, I'm not offering an opinion because if there's a trial in the Senate, I'm a juror and I can't say, which is true. It's also a dodge, but it's true. So when you have the number of Republicans who have in the Senate who have already said they would vote to impeach, in one respect, it's a trap that Trump established through his behavior. But the Democrats have set, Matt, a trap for Republicans, and they are walking right into it. And here's the trap. All right, you have a battle now for the future of the Republican Party. Is it going to be a Trump party, or is it going to go back to being the grand old party, as it were, with the swamp monsters? See, the swamp monsters think, the McConnells of the world, if they just kind of get through and let the Democrats take over, and then they have an impeachment trial, McConnell thinks, if I vote to impeach Trump, purely for the purpose of a second vote to make sure that he never holds public office again, I have now rid the party of this scourge, and everything will be just hunky-dory. Well, not so much, because of the fact that you then will have broken with this wing of the party that supported Trump and still supports Trump, good luck ever getting elected again. So in essence, you already have this uneasy coalition that led to huge turnouts, right, in terms of popular vote. It elected him once because of Electoral College, did not elect him this most recent time. That is going to be a break, and that is going to leave these folks who are voting against Trump saying, well, look, I've cleansed myself of him. But they're not going to get elected to anything. And the Democrats have set the trap. Republicans are willingly walking into it, and it will lead to the destruction of the entire party.
They're following that the 11th commandment from Reagan way too much. Historically, do you remember when they impeached? They've never impeached a president after office, but I believe, wasn't it the Harding administration that there were a few people there that they impeached after the fact because, of course, obviously all the scandal came to light after the fact. But they can. I mean, some people are kind of shocked today. It's like, well, I guess that's the end of it because he'll be out of office. No, this trial is going to go on. It's just the Democrats are going to do it.
If this were a court of law, and it is not, if it were a court of law, you would say, as a judge, I'm throwing this out because it is moot. The legal principle that says the decision is already decided. I mean, the case is already decided. If the idea was to remove someone from office and they're gone, either through resignation, expiration of term, whatever, it's a moot case. But we're not talking about a court of law. We are talking about a constitutional provision where the Senate is in charge and you have the possibility upon conviction. First of all, be the only person ever convicted after being impeached. So that'll look good on the walls of the Trump Presidential Library and Museum. But, you know, famous first.
Famous also, seconds.
You know, pretty soon you're going to have the full room. One wall is impeachment one, impeachment two. Here's the trial, and here's where they've said we're barring you from holding office again.
Now, this number five gets you a discounted sub.
Here's the divorce petition.
Yes.
Because the third time's the charm on that. Look, the Republicans who are in office or have aspirations, they would love to see the U.S. Senate led by Democrats to vote that Donald Trump can never run for anything again, because guess what? That's really what they want, because they don't want to have their party frozen while he decides if he's running. They want to run themselves and want to be able to just start coming to Iowa and New Hampshire and start raising money. He's in their way as long as he's talking about running again. Now, I have not heard that part lately, quite honestly. And if he were to say he wasn't going to run again, well, you know, that's worth nothing. So this becomes very different than any of the prior times where they just simply said, oh, the person left office, no sense pursuing the impeachment. Because of the fact that there's another goal in mind, and that is a secondary vote to say you're prohibited from running again.
Well, and also maybe a potential third reason, too, which is you clearly need to clear up the Constitution, I think, a little bit on this. There might be another amendment that comes out of this that, you know, you cannot – you cannot do this. You cannot have something like this, that it's an instant forfeit of the office if you, you know, send an unruly mob to go attack the Capitol building, for God's sakes.
Instant is the problem because of the due process clause. And that's understandable. And that's why you have something like the 25th Amendment.
Well, you're going to have to clean this up, I think, a little bit. There's going to have to be, I think, some revisiting of the Constitution.
By the way, ABC has just tweeted this phrase. There have been just four presidential impeachments in American history, and President Trump now represents half of that total.
There you go. When we do come back, I want to actually talk about some of the other Congress members, because it's starting to look a little like there might have been some help for the rioters within the Congress itself. We'll talk a little bit about that. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Upgrading your appliances is simple with the specialists at Warner Stallion. Save on thousands of top-rated in-stock appliances and enjoy safe, free local delivery in Holloway. Shop in-store or at warnerstallion.com.
Hi, Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz here. We're in an unprecedented battle against the COVID-19 virus. The state of Minnesota is doing everything possible to keep you safe, but we need your help. We need you to stay home, flatten the curve on COVID. Let's get through this thing together.
Rudy Luther Toyota's top-notch service department will keep your car ready for winter driving. Now through the end of January, get a Toyota TruStart battery replacement and installation with 24-month roadside assistance coverage for as low as $139.95. Offer excludes hybrid batteries. Also, Rudy Luther Toyota has your oil change and filter. 5 quarts with conventional oil is $39.95, and 5 quarts with synthetic is $61.95. These deals run through January. Get the service and maintenance you deserve at a great price at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
AM AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us here. Jeff, it's becoming clear, at least it appears at this point, that there, whether it's Mo Brooks and the coordination of the rally itself, which he seems to be bragging about, you have a Republican congresswoman saying that there were congresspeople leading tours of people who have been arrested the day before through the Capitol building, which is a little bit of an eye raiser. You have Boebert, the representative out of Colorado, being called to task because she was tweeting out Speaker Pelosi's location during the entire fiasco that happened last week. There is, I think, a chance here. And so on one side, I would like to get your thoughts on how many other people might be held accountable here. And then how does that accountability look? What's the process there?
Well, start with the reconnaissance mission the day before, because that's what it's sounding like.
Yes,
right?
That, yeah.
You know, here's Matt McNeil, and he goes to see his member of Congress and just says hello and show me around the building. And unless the member of Congress has reason to believe that this person was casing the joint, as we used to say, you know, it's just, look, this is one of my supporters and I do something. So you got to make it a nexus or a logical connection. How can you do that? Well, potentially the individual who was casing the place and their social media profile, et cetera. And let's face it, members of Congress don't just stop and give tours. I mean, I understand it's more of a ceremonial first week, but they don't do that. So why is it those people got special consideration? With regard to what happened inside the building as they all came in, okay, now we're really talking. If you can point to some people who gave information, I mean, the idea, tweeting out the room number of the speaker's office, you know, or whatever. I mean, that's where you start getting into this category of you've crossed the line from simply expressing speech and getting into speech that you know will create a public nuisance or harm to someone. That's the concept. And again, you are talking about federal government and First Amendment now. That has nothing to do with Twitter and Parler and any of that stuff. We're talking about if you as an, you know, this is the fire in a crowded theater. You do not have the right to express whatever speech you want if you know or have good reason to believe that that speech will lead to harm to another person. And that's why the Trump speech, by encouraging people to go march, if he has already set it up by talking about do things by whatever means possible, then his speech the day of could be interpreted as leading to physical harm to others or lawless actions. That's the nexus that you have to make. But with regard to some of these Congress people, you know, some of these newbies are like, wow, I get business cards too. This is great, and they just got in over their head.
Whether they're over their head or not. I mean, Boebert posted a picture on Instagram with people holding up the white power OK sign, which is, I mean, your judgment at that point is just beyond belief. So I've got some serious questions about her. But then there's the ugly side of this. Representative Presley saying that her emergency call button was ripped out of her office. And the clear evidence we've seen on some of these videos that these rioters, these terrorists, had detailed maps of the Capitol building. And they knew where they were going, and they were going there with a purpose. That points to something far more nefarious.
It does, and that's why you had the unprecedented step of the Defense Department having to say to members of the military, as of noon Eastern on January 20th, President Biden is the commander-in-chief, and you owe loyalty only to him, because they were afraid of what might happen during the inauguration. And talking about, all right, what about Capitol Police? How many of them were sympathetic to protesters opening side doors? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that no one yet knows.
Well, and they've gotten two that have gotten, one's been arrested, two have been fired on the Capitol Police. Yeah, that's the part that's crazy. How about just the images of the military camping out in the Capitol building at this point?
You know, I know a lot of people were very upset with that. And that when they got to work, members of the media got to work early this morning, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Eastern, and there were National Guard troops sleeping in the hallways ready to get ready to defend the Capitol. Here's why I'm not as bothered by it.
Because
I'm glad that prepared. I'm just glad they're prepared. That's the key on it.
I think they are. And I'm glad as well, because I think all states now have a threat under them. So I'm hoping that that's the standard they're taking in all these states. Jeff Stein, let's spotlight this one this week. Jeff, once again, Next Chapter Books and TotallyIowa.com. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week, okay? And we will be back for hour two in just a moment.